Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter number 15 in your Bible tonight. And I appreciate you coming. I really do. I learned something long ago. There's no point in attacking the folks that aren't here. They don't even know about it. But I sure do appreciate the folks that do come. Many of you have been here every night you could. Thank God for your faithfulness. Genesis chapter 15. I'll begin reading with verse number six. Talking about Abram. Later on, God changed his name to Abraham. Genesis 15:6, it says, he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. He said to him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. He said, Lord God, what should I bow? No, I shall inherit it. He said to him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, they each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. When the fowls came down upon the creature carcasses, Abram drove them away. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a war of great darkness fell upon him. I was a boy in grade school. The great social event of the week was this. Every Saturday afternoon, every kid in town would go to the movies. It was called the Kids' Matinee. Now, today, personally, I would not go to the theater, go to the character, the content in the crowd. But that thing was different. Saturday afternoon was especially for kids. Now, we got to see such great theological giants as the Three Students, Abbott and Costello. But most of the time, it was a Western. Now, when I went to the movies, here's how it worked. For 5 cents, you got in the movie. Hey, Nicole, you got a bushel of popcorn and a gallon of pop. Now, after you watched a few hundred movies, westerns, there are certain phrases stick in your mind. Sometimes during the movie, the good guy tells the bad guy, I want you out of town by sundown. I can tell you right then how that movie is going to end. Last scene is Main Street, entirely empty. Down this corner comes a bad guy wearing a black hat. Be going on his hip. Around this corner comes a good guy wearing a white hat. Be going on his hip. They walk toward each other. They stop. 2 shots rang out. Every Western I ever saw, the camera pans in on the bad guy. He is standing there smiling. All of a sudden, he would fall. He would crumble. He would, when that happened, we would holler, wowee! Now, that's non-Baptist for amen, okay? We'd holler, wowee! We'd throw the popcorn. We'd spill the pop. How did it end? It all ended with the showdown at sundown. This is a great spiritual moment in Abraham's life. The sacrifice has been made. He has heard the voice of God. The presence of God is right there. What happens? What always happens? Look in your Bible, please. Look at verse number 11. When the fowls came in upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. These fowls in the Bible are called unclean fowls. Why? Because they fell on carrion. They fell on rotten stuff. Piss them. Every time the Bible's preached, your Bible says this. Then cometh the devil immediately. Here he comes to try to interfere, intervene, tear away what God's trying to do in somebody's heart. Number one, first of all, we find, my friend, there is the, excuse me, that's what my throat here, there is the despondency of Abraham. Abraham is despondent. Look at the Bible, verse 1. Abraham is despondent. In verse 1, it says there of Genesis 15, after these things, the word of the Lord come unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, thou art my shield, and thy exceeding great reward. He said, fear not, Abraham. Abraham is fearful. First of all, my friend, it was surprised by this. Why would Abraham be fearful? Number one, he just had a fantastic military victory. With a handful of lay people, he defeated a great coalition of armies. He was a military hero. Number two, Abraham was very popular. To this day, they find pieces of pot shred, that's broken pottery, all the time and time again. They find these words, Abram, the great man of the East. Number three, Abraham was very wealthy. With his flocks and herds, he was probably the wealthiest man living at that time. He was the Bill Gates, the Warren Buffett, the Sheldon Shearer of that time, okay? He had all kinds of money, all kinds of things. What's number four? He was very probably one of the most beautiful women that ever lived. Her name was Sarah. I'll repeat that. One of the most beautiful women that ever lived, except for your wife, of course. Now, when Sarah was 90 years old, men still looked at her and desired to have her. Now, wait a minute. Here is Abraham. Man, he's famous. He's a great military hero. My friend, he's married to a beautiful woman. And yet Abraham is despondent. We're surprised by that, but please allow me to surmise. Why was Abraham despondent? Two thoughts. Number one, first of all, my friend, the futility of life. Abraham said, what more could I have? A beautiful wife, money, everything I need. Yet, my friend, in Abraham's soul, there was something missing. See, the Bible says you consist of three parts. You have a body, you have a mind, most of you do, but the Bible says there's a third part of you, and that part is dead until you receive Christ as your Savior. The Bible says you will see quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Understand that. You can build your body into a rippling mass of biceps and triceps. So that's when you can fill your mind full of facts and figures. Yet you're only two-thirds of a person. Why? Because the spiritual part is dead until you receive Christ as your Savior. Mark, when Christ came to bring satisfaction into your life. Understand that. You can exist without Christ. You never know real living until you meet Christ. The Bible says, Jesus said, I've come, you might have life. Here there's more. You might have it more abundantly, not existing, but really living this found in the person of Jesus Christ. Years ago, I had a revival meeting up in Wisconsin, a great revival, and on Tuesday night, a young lady brought her worker. A young lady worked in a Boise Cascade plant, and then she brought, had three earned doctor's degrees. He was the chief chemist at that plant. He came on Tuesday, Monday night, there was, sat there, heard the message, afterward come down, thanked me for it, would go out the back door, Pastor Smith met him and said, could I talk to you? Went to Pastor Smith's office, he opened the Bible, told the man how to get saved. In the office that night, that man received Christ as his Savior. Now, he came back to revival every night. On Tuesday night, he brought three workers. Thursday night, he brought five co-workers. In church wedding 200, that week we had over 40 people walk down the aisle and get saved. About 2 months later, I met Pastor Smith to try and play golf. I said, hey, how's the sinus doing? He said, you won't believe it. That guy's read the Bible through 2.5 times. Every Sunday, he's brought at least 3 people, sometimes 10 people. He said, Brother Mark, I want to share something with you. Sunday night after revival, I didn't preach. He said, we have testimonies. It lasted 2 hours. That man stood up and said, on Monday night, a co-worker invited me to come. I had no idea what it was about. I sat here in the pew, heard a man preach, and God spoke to my heart. Afterward, your fine pastor invited me to come to his study. I went in, opened the Bible, showed me how to get saved. He said, I knelt down, I received Christ as my Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, he said, that's entirely changed my entire life. At work, folks come up to me and say, well, you're really happy. How come? Get a big raise? Well, there's something different about you. Have you fallen in love? You know, I just tell them that Jesus Christ is alive, and he's real, and he satisfies. Say, ladies and gentlemen, I am a scientist, but I know Christ is real. I'm certain of that because he's a living, because he's changed my life. Say something? It is no secret what God can do. Amen. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. If you'll come and receive him as your Savior. It could have been the futility of life that bothered Abraham. Or it could have been, my friend, the fatality of death. Now wait, Abraham could have thought, one time I pulled it off. A surprise attack. I rescued people. I killed the enemy. Man, with those vast crowds that come down now, I'm helpless. They'll kill me. Thank God, Abraham thought of dying. The Bible says, when a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. The Bible says, you're going to die, friend. How about this? The living know they shall die. I'm going to pick that verse. The living know they shall die. Let me illustrate that for you. Somebody said, well, preacher, I've got plenty of time. I'm not going to... No, you don't. You don't know that. I'll prove you're lying to yourself when you say, I've got plenty of... You're lying to yourself. Number one. Okay. If you own an insurance policy, friend, you admitted you could die today. Otherwise, that policy would not be enforced. You're wasting money if you're sure you're not going to die. The fact you have an insurance policy, you admitted to an insurance salesman, I could die today. All right, now, if you have a will, one day you walk in a lawyer's office, admit to that lawyer, I could die today. And if I die, I want my earthly goods to go to a certain family or a certain place. Now, wait. If you were positive you weren't going to die, you wouldn't have wasted money filling that will out. You didn't get the glory of that money. See, you admit if you have a will, there's a chance I could die today. Some of you have a prepaid funeral, okay? What a waste of money if you're so sure you're not going to die. Put that money in the bank. Get the interest. And when you know you're going to die, see, the thing is, you don't know when you're going to die, but you could die today. God said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Understand that. God said, don't boast you're going to live till 12:01 tonight. Oh, my friend, Abraham was concerned. He said, if I die, I'm not ready. Thank God he got ready. And my friend, I hope you're ready tonight to face God and the judgment and Jesus Christ. I was preaching in Homo Sassel Springs, Florida. I was preaching one night. Something came to my mind I never thought of before. While I was preaching, I said, you folks are retired to come to Florida. You said, I come to Florida to live. I said, that's a lie. You're going to die here, be buried here, be involved here, resurrected here, stand before God from here. I said, you come to Florida to die. And I kept preaching. Give the invitation that night. 82-year-old man walked down the aisle with the pastor and got saved. I put on the vestibule, shaking hands, he come up, he said, preacher, you shut me tonight. See, I told everybody, I'm going down to Florida to live. He said, you're right, I'm going to die here. He said, I wasn't ready. He said, thank God tonight I got ready. I accepted Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Ready or not? Someday, my friend, you will die. Number one, Abraham is despondent. Number two, Abraham's dependence. What did Abraham trust in, depend on, to get into heaven? Look in your Bible, please. At Genesis 15, look at verse number 6. He believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. Somebody said, preacher, hey, tonight Abraham's in heaven. You know why? He was a saint. He was a good man. He didn't sin much. When he did, they weren't big sins. Therefore, when Abraham died, he went to heaven. Totally wrong answer. Number one, Abraham committed awful sin, horrible sin. Abraham has a sexual affair with a little maid in his house. Abraham is an adulterer. Number two, the woman becomes pregnant. Now what happens? What does Abraham do? Gives her a bottle of water and drives away the mother and his own child. He drives it out of here. Get out! How low can you go? How low can you go? Number three, my friend, Abraham, they're heading down to Egypt. And Abraham tells his wife, now honey, these Egyptians have an eye for good looking women. And you're very beautiful. Let's tell everybody that you're my sister instead of being my wife. That way, boy, if they find out I'm your husband, they're liable to kill me so they can have you. Let's just tell them that we're brethren. How low can you go? He's not willing to sacrifice his wife's virtue to save his neck. Number four, God said, don't go a certain place. That's exactly where Abraham goes. Here, Abraham was not a good moral man. And the Bible says nobody on earth is really a good moral man. Here's your Bible. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's your Bible. Romans chapter 3. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all going out of the way. Or they're going to become unprofitable. Then God said, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. How often does God have to repeat that to get in your head? 8 times God said, everybody is a sinner. Another Bible verse. If we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. Your Bible says this. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. My friend, understand something. You cannot become a Christian. You cannot be saved unless you're willing to admit you're a sinner. What does your Bible say? Christ came in the world to save sinners. You wrap yourself in your self-righteousness. You'll wrap yourself in hell. Because unless you admit you're a sinner, you cannot be saved. Now, how was Abraham saved? How did Abraham become a Christian? Not by baptism. No, not by church membership. Not by saying I'll turn over a new leaf. No. How did Abraham become a Christian? Look at that verse. Wonderful verse. Verse number 6. He believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. It's amazing what you can believe and miss heaven. Number one, you can believe in God and miss heaven. In John 14, believest thou there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. Understand that. Believing somewhere out there there's God, that does not make you a Christian, that will not save you. Say, Brother Mark, I believe the Bible. Wait, time out. Paul preached to a king. The power of God was there, and the king trembled and shook. And Paul said, believest thou the scripture? I know thou believest. You can search heaven tonight, and the king is not there. Bible salvation is not just believing the Bible. What is Bible salvation? When you realize you're a sinner, you realize you cannot save yourself, but thank God, you realize on that cross, when Christ hung there, He paid for your sin and my sin and the sin of the entire world. He was a substitute. The Bible says, who His own self. What does that mean? All alone. The songwriter had that right. Jesus paid it all. You do not contribute anything to salvation. Christ paid it all. 100%. He said, it's finished. The Mount Rim, when Christ hung on the cross, He made it possible for everybody to be saved. If they realize they were a sinner and invite Him into their heart to be their Savior, that's salvation. Three times your Bible says this, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll give you one more verse. At the well one day, Christ met a woman. A woman living in an adulterous situation. They took a while. And Christ talked about salvation in the form of water. Not baptism, but water. Why? Number one, water cleanses. When you get saved, God takes away your sin. Number two, water satisfies the thirst. When you get saved, you can be satisfied. And so Christ talks about salvation in the form of water. This woman says, Jesus, how do I get this water? How do I get this salvation? Here's what Jesus said, if you would ask. Thank God for that. Come on, just ask me. I'll give it to you. I'm going to heaven for one reason tonight. 16 years old, flat on my back in church camp. I knew I was a sinner heading for hell. Flat on my back, I asked Christ to be my Savior. And Jesus said this, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. No matter who you are, what you've done, Christ can save you tonight if you'll come to Him. Now, have you made that decision? Are you sure you made that decision? Every year I see hundreds of church members saved. I was preaching in a little church out in the country, out of Decatur, Illinois, called Tower Hill Baptist Church. And a guy came to me and said, Brother Mark, tomorrow night I got a co-worker coming, and he's unsaved. Pray for him, and I did. The service started that night, and I saw the man sitting over there who was concerned. Another Christian came in, I thought, and sat down by him. They were sitting together. The guy that we'd be praying for come in real late. This side was packed and jammed. He said, over here. I preached that night, finished preaching. I said, okay, if you're not sure you're saved, I want to pray for you, raise your hand. He did with three other people. I said, okay, well, I'll sing a song. You want to get saved? Come and tell Pastor Randy. You're a Christian. Want to come and pray? Come right ahead. Let's stand and sing. Man, on the first note, that guy started moving, heading down front, and Pastor Randy met him. I looked over him, and I saw the guy that invited him try to get out, but the guy sitting by him blocked him so he couldn't get out. I saw him talking. And so the guy kind of shrugged him. I saw him go in a side room and open the door. The guy that came down to the altar that night, he received Christ as his Savior. And so afterward, the business guy on this side here, not the guy that invited the guy, the other guy that came and stood by him, he came down in front and said, I want to talk to you. I said, okay, what do you need? He said, I got to tell you something. I said, tell me. He said, preacher, I read the Bible cover to cover three times. I graduated from Moody Bible Institute. I've gone 2 years to Maranatha Baptist College. Said, preacher, as you preach tonight, I realized I had never been saved. But he said, I settled it tonight. I accepted Jesus Christ. I went to Bible college. I saw a revival break out in a college of about 200 students. 30 of them got saved. They were hypocrites? No. They were blinded by the devil. The God of this age, the Bible says, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Don't let the devil blind you and damn you. And my friend, if you don't have a Bible reason, get one tonight. The only reason God accepts is what the Bible says. On Judgment Day, Jesus said, the word I've spoken unto you, that's the Bible, is life. And the same Bible will judge you at the last day. Oh, get it, friend. When you stand before God, heaven and hell stand in the balance. You're not judged by what a preacher said. You're not judged by your opinion. You're judged by one thing, the Word of God. If tonight you stood before God, He was to hand you this old ragged Bible. Could you take it and tell Him why He should let you into heaven? If you can't, friend, you won't make it. That's the only reason God accepts. Is a Bible reason. Number three. Look at your Bible again. Genesis 15, number three. We find in closing the disruption. Great moment. Here come all these birds. Look in your Bible, please, in verse 12. The sun went, verse 11. When the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. What's happening here? Great spiritual moment. Here come all these unclean birds, ravenous birds, birds that feed on garbage and carry on. Here they come. The flock of hell comes in to try and tear away. And this happens today, friend. The Bible says, when the Bible is preached, what's the wording? Then cometh the devil immediately. He knows just when to show up. That's right. In the middle of the last invitation, here comes the devil to disturb. Somebody has to go out. Some child starts to talk. My friend, the devil is a great disruptor. Don't let him disturb you and drive you into hell. My friend, he'll blind you, he'll disturb you, he'll try to tear the Word of God out of your heart. If you're not sure you're saved tonight, you trample on your pride. Do what Abraham did. Drive away the fowls of hell. And tell the devil you're not having my soul. I'm coming to Jesus Christ. I never knew my father. Him and my mother were married a couple of years, I come along. My dad goes off to fight World War II. Now, he didn't die in that war. He simply abandoned my mother and myself, never returned home. Therefore, I was raised just by my mother and I. When I was in the fourth grade, a man moved in our house, godless, wicked, filthy, brutal, vile, violent individual. He was a bartender. He made life horrible, made life miserable. Never forget it, one night he was supposed to be tending bar. Brother and I went to a movie. We come home, and he was already home. Walked in the house. He asked my mother, who are you with? She said, well, Joe. He didn't believe it. Took me, slapped me against the wall, got a butcher knife, put it right there, said, come on, tell me who your mother was with, or I'll slit your throat. I'll laugh. Why, come on, who is she? Oh, life was brutal. You don't have to tell me about sin, buddy. I've been there. Thank God I didn't get something better. I got someone better when I met Jesus Christ. God help us. People don't have to live that way. Right. Christ can change our life. But oh, life was so horrible. And just brutal, horrible. No happiness, no joy. And Mom from Bay put the hammer down and said, get out, never come back. He came creeping back about a month later, and he changed somewhat, but was still lost and still not exactly ideal. Time went on. I went to Bible college. I wrote him letters about being saved. In the summer, I talked to him, and he didn't have a lot of interest. I graduated from Bible college and got married, went down to Chattanooga, Tennessee to go to seminary. And we come back to my in-law's parents for Thanksgiving. And she had invited my mother, but then she'd married that man, to come over. We had a decent time. I'll never forget, he turned to my mother and said, you know, we better head home. It's starting to get dark. The sun's going down. We better head back home. I said, okay, I'll go out and start the car. He went out to start the car. I followed him out. Got the window out. I said, you know, I'm praying for you. He said, pray I get a better job. I said, no. I said, I'm praying to get saved. And he just started crying. He broke down. He sobbed and shook. He said, I'm going to. I said, well, he said, I'm going to. No, not now. But I'm going to. I said, no, the Bible says now is the accepted time. He said, no, son, there's some things I gotta take, you know. I said, you don't. Now is the accepted time. You accept Christ, He'll take care of everything else. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. I said, the first thing you need to do is accept Christ. Will you please accept Christ? He said, son, I'm not lying to you. I'm not. He said, I know I treated you rotten. I feel bad about it. He said, it's horrible. He said, but I'm not lying to you. I'm going to get saved, but not now. The car window was down. I reached in, I hugged his head to my chest. I kissed him on top of his head. I said, won't you please, please, please get saved right here, right now. I'll help you. He said, son, he's crying. Not now, but I'm going to do it. Brother came out and got in the car. They headed for Macomb, Illinois. 2 weeks later, I'm working at Sears in Chattanooga. The phone rang. I picked it up. It was my aunt in Macomb. And we talked a while. She said, got some bad news. I said, what? She said, Tillis died. She said that was like someone turned on a motion picture camera. He's saying, I'm going to get saved. I'm not lying to you. I'm going to get saved. Not now. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get saved. Hey, for him, that was the showdown. At sundown, hear me. Nobody ever made reservations in hell.
Yeah.
Every person there right now was sure they'd have one more chance. But it never came. If you ever intend to get saved, this is God's time. This is God's place. Come to Him. Not yet. Him. Christ. Come tonight. Let Him be your Savior. Bow your head for